Well, hey there, my name's Eric Gray, and I'm the young adult and family minister here at the Regency Church of Christ. I just want to take a minute and say thank you for checking out this message. If you're ever in the Mobile area, we'd love for you to join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And to find out more information about Regency or to listen to other messages from this series, we'd love for you to check out our website at regencycc.org. And we're praying that this message will help you grow closer to Jesus.
So back during the time we were quarantined at home, a lot of you were getting puzzles and finding activities to do in your house. Well, we decided to do that as well. We went and got a 1,000-piece Disney jigsaw puzzle. And we thought this would be a great idea. I like puzzles. I like escape rooms and challenging things to try to do. But this was a little bit more challenging than I had anticipated. The edge pieces were great. We got those pretty quickly, but we were not able to finish the puzzle. In fact, we really struggled to get going at all. We ended up putting the puzzle in the garage. And I remember one day I ended up walking out there because the house was pretty quiet to find a couple of our kids in the garage working on the puzzle. They were still struggling and not having a very easy time with it. And I realized that one of the reasons they were struggling is because they were trying to put the puzzle together without using the box. That's a pretty impossible task with a large puzzle like that, to put it together without looking at the big picture of the box. It can be easy to get the edges done, maybe connect a few pieces here and there. But when you have a few pieces but no big picture, it can be easy to give up. The big picture is your guide for the whole process. It shows you where you're going. It assures you that everything interlocks in a way that makes sense. When you can't see the big picture, it's frustrating. You may even want to give up. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this new theme in the sermon series of don't give up. The Bible has tons of passages that offer words of courage and hope. But one in particular that I want to focus on today is found in Hebrews chapter 12. I believe it's especially effective at challenging us to not grow weary or give up. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 3, it says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Now, we're not totally sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we have a pretty good idea on who it was written to. It's written to people who are weary. It's written to people who are losing heart. In other words, this is written to everybody. Especially, I think it's practical and applicable at a time like this. It's written to you. It's written to me. It's written to your kids, to your parents, to business owners and employees. This is written to teachers and school administrators and students. The writer wants to speak courage into the hearts of the reader. And his message applies to literally anyone who may grow weary and lose heart. Look at verse 1 again. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." The author is pointing us to a source of motivation and accountability and inspiration. And he uses kind of an unusual phrase. It's not a phrase that I use that often, but it's this phrase of a cloud of witnesses. What in the world or out of the world is that all about? The clue is the word "therefore" that points us back to something previously. And so if we look back in Hebrews chapter 11, we get this pretty famous chapter in the Bible. It's the Faith Hall of Fame. Here we find a list of people who faced huge challenges and yet found the faith to keep believing and the courage to keep fighting and not give up. This list includes Old Testament greats like Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Samson, and David. And these are the witnesses. But what does the cloud part of that phrase mean? There are two different words for cloud in the New Testament. One is a single, detached, distinct mass of whiteness that you see in the sky. The other, the word used here, is something broader, something more powerful. It's an encompassing cloud, more like a heavy fog that surrounds us. You look up into the sky to see the first type of cloud, but you feel the second one. You feel its presence around you. The ancient Greeks used the second kind of cloud to describe a massive gathering of people. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, we have this idea of a huge crowd of people all around us wherever we go. So how does the cloud of witnesses How does it help us keep going? How does it help us continue pushing on and to refuse to give up? Let's look at another word in that passage, witnesses. A witness could be someone who sees something. An eyewitness observes something happening. Because of that meaning, some people read Hebrews chapter 12 and think of a cloud of witnesses is watching in heaven as we go about our lives. And that's, to me, kind of a weird thing to think about. I struggle with this idea a little bit because these past heroes are in heaven. This is a place of perfect peace and joy. I'm not sure they'd be fully experiencing that perfect peace and joy by spending their time watching us struggle. But that meaning of witness could make more sense in a different way, a more specific way. What if these heroes were caught up in a heavenly kind of joy rather than an earthly one? For example, there are some scholars who believe that the joy of heaven isn't found in avoiding what happens here on earth, but in having a full eternal perspective of what it means, being able to see the full picture. They understand that we are moving towards our greatest blessing when we fight through our toughest trials. So does that mean that these heroes of faith are sitting in the stands of heaven watching us run the race? Possibly. That could be an interpretation that we have of this passage. And in fact, some translations actually use this idea in their translations. The Living Bible uses this passage and says, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands. If we define witnesses as those who see, we could be looking at a powerful, inspiring idea. The applause, the encouragement of history's greatest heroes at the very time that we feel the loneliest and most overwhelmed. They're giving us these shouts of encouragement, and it's coming from some of history's greats like Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David. This passage is actually a really cool mental picture that we can get. Thinking of the many followers of Jesus who've gone before you, knowing they know how you feel, that they have overcome, that they've won the trophy, and that you are anything but alone. If you go back and read through Hebrews chapter 11, if you reread and reflect on those heroes and think about how they persevered, we might ask ourselves, what gave them the power? What gave them the power to overcome and endure and not give up? In the moments of life where we feel exhausted and are struggling to keep going, it makes a difference to hear those voices from Scripture, a cloud of witnesses who are alive and encouraging us. Almost 10 years ago, back in Memphis, we had a situation at our church where one of our young people, one of our students, was diagnosed with cancer, and it was really serious. And so he was a patient at St. Jude. And our church decided that as a way to encourage that student and his family, that we were going to all do something together to support him. And we decided we were going to, a bunch of us were going to try to run a half marathon at St. Jude, the St. Jude Half Marathon. And so there was a group of about 75 to 80 of us that committed to doing that, and I was one of them. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not much of a runner. When I was in high school, I was on the cross-country team, and it was the worst 2 days of my life. It was actually just one day I joined the cross-country team. I went to a practice. They had us run like 8 miles, and the next day I was like, this is not for me. And so I committed to run this half marathon, this St. Jude Half Marathon. And I was supposed to do some training for it, but I really didn't. I think I ran 10 miles leading up to it total in preparation for this 13-mile race that I was going to be a part of. And so I was a little anxious and nervous the day of the race. And so all of us were there. We were wearing our matching T-shirts. There was thousands of people at this race. And as the race began, one thing I realized as we were running, as the entire journey, as we're running through downtown Memphis, there are people on either side of us holding signs and cheering for us. And it was extremely encouraging and motivating. I hardly stopped. I was running almost the entire 13 miles just because I felt so motivated and encouraged by the people cheering us on. But there was one part in particular. During the St. Jude Half Marathon, at one point, you actually run through St. Jude Hospital. And as you're running through the hospital, they have some of the patients there off to the side cheering you on and holding signs. Man, I don't think I had ran with as much energy as I did at that moment. It was inspiring, right? You see these patients who are not giving up. How could I give up as I'm running through the hospital? And I think about this picture when I think about the cloud of witness and what they are doing as they are trying to encourage us to not give up. They see the struggle. They recognize that, but they have a clear view of the big picture. And they're encouraging us as we are trying to run this race. There's another type of witness that we can think about. The ones who say something. That's what we mean when we speak of someone bearing witness. Not only did they see it, but they also testified to it. They're witnesses to the truth. And the example from Hebrews connects with this idea of the type of witness who says something. In Hebrews chapter 11, the word witness is used 5 times, and each time the context points to saying rather than seeing. And so Hebrews 11:4 is an example of this. The writer is telling us about Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. And what got Abel inducted into the Faith Hall of Fame? Well, it's the offerings that he gave to God. And in Hebrews 11:4, it tells us that Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. And so it's all about his bearing witness for us. He is speaking to us, even from beyond the grave. Abel and all the other heroes of faith continue to tell their stories across time and eternity. Whenever we're tired, whenever we're weary and ready to give up and check out, they keep on speaking. And every word they say is about pushing on, getting that victory. It's never, hey, you know, you've done great. Nobody's going to blame you if you pack it in. This great cloud of witnesses is not an idea of a group of people just pumping their fist and cheering. They have real words of power to speak into our daily struggles. Thinking back to that puzzle idea and how beneficial it is to see or understand the big picture as you connect the pieces. The writer of Hebrews defines the big picture for us. He defines the big picture of the cloud of witnesses as faith. Faith is the principle that joins and connects our lives. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is a confidence that keeps believing all the pieces are going to somehow fit together, even when you don't have the big picture to work from. It's believing that God has a purpose, even when there seems to be no reason. In Hebrews 11, we get these characters who had faith, even when things didn't make sense. People like Abraham, who is trying to understand how God will fulfill his promise. Joseph, who trusted God even when he found himself in the pit and in prison. Rahab, who welcomed spies even when it put her and her home at great risk. Faith that gives you the confidence to keep believing and the courage to keep going is not faith in life circumstances. Abraham and Moses and David and all of these heroes of faith, they weren't putting their faith in the circumstances of life. They were putting their faith in the character of God. Sometimes faith does heal. Sometimes faith does pay the bills. But sometimes what faith gives you instead is something actually more precious. It gives you the strength to get through the day where there is no perfect healing, or when you're not sure how the bills are going to get paid. Our faith is in God and the big picture that we won't completely see this side of eternity. It isn't easily or rarely at all measured by earthly success, but it's what keeps us aligned with the truth. It's faith that keeps believing, even when the pieces don't seem to fit together. This past week was supposed to be our youth group's mission trip. We go to Atlanta every summer to work with the kids at Corners Outreach. It's a great trip, one of my favorite trips that we do. And we spent some time this past week sharing memories and talking about the things that we miss from that. But one of the things we've tried to focus on the past few years with our mission trip is to tell the students that, listen, our mission as followers of Jesus is not a trip. The mission is not a trip. The mission is for us to live like Jesus and to share his love. The mission is for us to love God and to love our neighbor. The mission is not 1 week in July. The mission is something that we're a part of every single day. And so we need to be reminded of that, especially, I think, during a summer when we can't go on a mission trip. I think for all of us, we need to be reminded of what our mission is. Being reminded of that mission can help us persevere and not give up. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he says this in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." There's that word again, witness. But in this case, it's what we are called to be and do. Jesus is giving them a mission. He's saying, you are to be my witnesses. Jesus gave his followers this final mission before ascending back into heaven. And this type of witness does something. This type of witness says something. This type of witness, us, we are to share what we have seen and experienced Jesus do in our lives. Right after this in verse 9, it says, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud, there's that word again, hid him from their sight. And in verse 10, it shows us this, I think, kind of humorous scene where it says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This image of the followers of Jesus just staring up into the sky and the angels coming alongside them being like, listen, guys, you have a mission. You have a job to do. It's time to get to work. Did the disciples understand the full picture of what was coming for them? No. But Jesus had promised them that he was going to provide them with what they needed. Did the disciples understand that they were going to face some suffering? Maybe a little bit, but probably not to the extent that was coming their way. But yet, because of their focus on their mission, because of the other people that were surrounding them, they weren't going to give up. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 1, 19 and 20, that the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to us. The power that overcame death can help us overcome our circumstances. Our confidence to overcome is not a confidence in ourselves, but it's a confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit that is found inside of us. Life is difficult, but nothing that you faced or are facing is too difficult for him. His grace is sufficient for you, and his power is made perfect in weakness. So if you felt like quitting, if you felt like giving up, listen to what the great cloud of witnesses is telling you. I wonder what they would say if they looked at our current condition. I believe that they would have an understanding that life is difficult, that this is challenging, that this hurts, but this is not the time to throw up our hands and quit. We may not see it right now. We may not understand it, but you have a mission. We need to keep perspective. We need to have faith, and we need to not give up.